live from beyond the Beltway. This is Bruce Dumont with our weekly analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by international consultant and Republican activist Chris Roebling, Judith Sherwin, conservative attorney from Chicago, Illinois Republican talk show host and former lieutenant gubernatorial candidate Stephanie Trussell, and in our second hour, we'll be joined by Mike Miller, retired economist from DePaul University. Hello, everybody. This is Bruce Dumont. Happy 4th of July to you all. Our program tonight, coming to you from our studios in Elk Grove Village. It's the home of WIND AM 560. The Answer, that's the Salem station in the city of Chicago. And again, nice to have you with us. Phone lines are open. We are live. We're not on tape. It is a holiday, but we're live. 1-800-723-8289. 1-800-723-8289. And tonight, for the next couple of hours, we're really going to have basically an all-Republican show. And if you're a Democrat, I promise you, we will soon have an all-Democratic show when we will look at the Democratic presidential nomination. But, of course, there's only three people in that race at the moment. And the Republicans have, they've got a baker's dozen. They've got 13 people are running. This morning, Fox News came out with their latest poll involving these candidates. And this is what Fox News Sunday came up with today. They noted that Donald Trump is now leading in first place, and we'll have that graphic up in just a moment. Donald Trump has now increased his lead with 56%. Ron DeSantis, the nearest challenger, a long way away at 22%. Vivek Ramaswamy, surprisingly, in third place at 5%, doing very well over former Vice President Mike Pence at 4%. Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, at 4%. Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, only at 3%. And then Chris Christie at 1%. He's got the big mouth in this race, but he's at 1% at the moment. Larry Elder, who's a talk show host, he is at 1%. And Asa Hutchinson, who is the former governor of Arkansas, also is in that race at just 1%. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to handicap all these candidates this evening. But I want to ask first, is anybody surprised by the Fox poll? Raise your hand if you're surprised by the Fox poll.
No.
Nobody is surprised by the Fox poll.
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm surprised Vivek has moved up to third.
Yeah. By the way, we should mention, in fact, this is a question that I wanted to ask everybody. Is there anybody on the panel tonight who is associated with one of the candidates? Please say aye.
Well, I've traveled with Vivek, but I don't work for him.
Okay.
I've just had the pleasure of a couple of
Okay, I just want to make
yeah.
you...
No, I'm not on his team. And
but
I'm
again, I would say that everyone probably would say that Vivek being in third place with only 3%, but
five,
I mean, he's been
percent.
Out there five. Doing quite a bit
you
of...
You said 5%.
5%. 5%. I'm sorry.
No problem.
So anyway, let's now go back to the bigger, broader question that we're going to discuss this evening. Is I want you, now that we know that there's no ringers on the discussion this evening, I want to go through and I want to have a real clear discussion of the various candidates. We're going to put up all their faces again. We're then going to go look at individually. The field that you have before you, if you're watching us on television and certainly on radio, you can certainly imagine who these names are. Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, the former Vice President Mike Pence, Governor Haley of South Carolina, Governor Scott of South Carolina, Vivek Ramaswamy, who we just mentioned, and in our second line, we have Asa Hutchinson, we have talk show host Larry Elder, we have former Congressman Will Hurd, we have Congressman or businessman Perry Johnson, we have the mayor of Miami, Francis Suarez, and we have Doug Burgum, who is the governor of North Carolina. Now, first of all,
North Dakota.
North Dakota. North Dakota. I want to say one clarifying
That's
point.
That's a lot.
North somewhere.
It used to be every presidential year.
Yes.
The Democrats would be bragging about the diversity
yes,
of their field,
yes.
Yes.
And they would be pointing to the lily white Republicans.
Yes.
And in this field, as we look at this field, there are three African Americans, two Indians, one woman. A couple of
Hispanic.
That wasn't true last time.
You've got a couple of Italians in there. I mean, you have
it's the
mélange,
right?
A mélange.
Is this good?
It's a melting pot. Yeah.
What do you think? What does anybody think of it, Judy?
I think it's terrific, and I think it's been true for a long time. Okay, sorry. How's that? Is that better?
Keep going.
I think that it's great. I mean, first of all, in 2016, it was like that. You had women. You didn't have a bunch of lily white candidates on the Republican side. And it's even more so now. And there's some very good candidates in that group.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of them are running for the vice presidential slot, mm-hmm. to be perfectly honest. I'd love to see Vivek in that kind of a slot. I think he's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that any of them are going to take over Donald Trump's spot is kind of... I just don't...
We got to get past Trump. Trump's a disaster. Okay. I'm so sick and tired of Trump. Right. And we've all been carrying Trump's baggage for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. To me, Trump lost me on the 6th of January. The fact that he wasn't on TV saying to his people, stop, 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 turn around, you know, don't touch
peacefully.
Anybody.
He didn't.
Look,
well,
he didn't.
Okay.
He should have been on the air. He could have been on the air. I was sitting there watching this in real time. It didn't happen. And I'm not going to be quiet about Trump's grotesque behavior in any one of a number of areas. I'm just sick and tired of the guy.
Stephanie.
Well, you know, and it's exciting to have someone here that's not on the Trump train. This is great, a little diversity. But, you know, we're of a very diverse party, and we don't like to talk about that. And I think we should be talking about the fact that we've got everybody represented. But more importantly, we're all Americans. But I'm concerned about when you said there's some people running to be vice president, and you said Vivek. I get that a lot. If you're in a small room with Vivek Ramaswamy, this guy wants to be president. I've had a chance to talk to him. I've watched him work with his team. He is very motivated. He's not trying to be on the cabinet. He wants to save this country.
But a good way for a young man to be president is to be a running mate.
That's true.
Who then emerges as president someday in the future.
Well,
because whoever the front runner picks as their running mate, especially if it's Donald Trump, that person is who Donald Trump thinks should lead the party for the next 8 years.
Unless you're Mike Pence, who was chosen. Yeah. So, and as we all know, he was told to do that by the Koch brothers. But I want to say I think some of the guys are running for bigger speaker fees, but I think they're all very interesting, except I don't know
Chris Christie.
Why would a governor of North Dakota, who nobody has ever heard of outside of Pierre, North Dakota, or Pierre, or whatever they call it, I mean, that's crazy. Then there's another guy out there, Asa Hutchinson. Once upon a time, 23 years ago, he was an interesting young congressperson.
Yes.
But that all faded away, and he became an establishmentarian. So I don't really know what he's doing. But I Elder's great. Nikki Haley is very interesting.
We're going to give you an opportunity. Don't lay your good stuff on the line in segment number one. Because what I've done, and we're going to see them when we come back, I've created categories for these 13, and we're going to go through those categories with response from everybody, including Chris Robley, when we come back.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
When you need me, I'll be by your side.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or, my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, rainy Chicago. Today was going to be the big day in Chicago history when we had our first NASCAR race, and it got rained out. So now they're going to find out whether I guess they can run it tomorrow. And that just it just I mean, what about the hotel rooms? I mean, the people that have spent lots of money to go to this thing.
It's
like they're going to $300 minimum to go.
Yeah.
Oh, to go was like $269.
Are you serious?
Oh,
really?
Well, $269 sounds a lot like $300.
Right. Round up.
Yeah. But what I'm just saying is now. But now, I mean, all the hotels are sold out.
Oh,
but now, what about for, you know, tomorrow night or tomorrow during the day? I wonder whether these hotels have been sold out. Probably not, because it is the 4th of July.
Right.
But they're probably going to charge most people another $300 or $400
sure.
for a hotel room.
Yeah.
So, again, the little guy, as usually the case when they have these big events, the little guy isn't likely to get very close to the race. Speaking of the little guys, we have little guys, we have big guys running for president of the United States, and I'm going to be more than interested in hearing from those out in radio TV land tonight. 1-800-723-8289. If you have an axe to grind about a candidate, that's okay. If you want to puff them up, that's okay as well. But we would like to hear from you, because 13, the big, I guess the next deciding factor for a lot of people is going to come on April 23rd, when Fox News is going to gather all 13 of them, allegedly.
August 23rd.
August 23rd.
Right. Well, not Trump.
What
right.
did I say,
Trump.
April?
You said April.
Okay.
No. Not Trump.
No, not Trump. He wants to throw his
August,
own event
April,
that day.
They both start with A.
Right. Close enough. Yeah, you're forgiven.
But they're going to gather if they all have reached 1% in 3 national polls, and if all of them have raised at least 40 or have 40,000
unique
donors.
Moo.
Uh-oh.
You don't like that idea?
Moo. I'm mooing because it's a cattle call.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Okay.
I think they should do like 6 and 6 or 5, 5 and 5 or something like that. I mean, 13 people. I used to be a radio talk show host, and
I know.
You remember BEZ, we would have 9 people on to talk about school reform.
Oh, my God.
And it was horrible. It's a horrible assignment for anybody.
Yeah,
and I
last time they did something
They did
like
terrible
that,
jobs.
Terrible.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
It's great. Moo. That's my mooing. Moo.
No,
well,
having two.
But
two
then how do you figure out, how do you figure out, well, here, let me offer a suggestion.
Beyond the Beltway. Yeah. They should come on here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of them.
I don't think they all fit in here, though.
One at a time.
On one point, if you put them into some sort of categories, you by doing that, you're discriminating against some people.
Right. Absolutely.
But now, just a moment, having said that, I'm going to now discriminate against some people.
Okay.
Because I'm going to lay out my lists. And I listen to my lists, and then we're going to come back, and we'll go through them, and everybody can weigh in on them.
Okay.
But at the moment, given my experience of having done this for a long, long time, 6 decades, my view right at this moment in time, there are 2 front runners. There really is only 1 front runner, and that's Donald Trump, who's now way ahead. But the media and the fact that he is getting the most exposure, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, I think I would put him up there as the principal challenger to Donald Trump. Now,
great.
The next category we're going to go right through the categories, Fritz. The next category are the long shots. The long shots, I think, are...
Okay.
Everyone up. Other than those
listen
two.
To
right.
this.
All right.
Got to listen.
Okay.
Governor Haley, former Vice President Pence, and Senator Scott, all long shots. Then the next group, these are the big mouths. These are the chief critics, Chris Christie, who really does have a bona fide big mouth, and Asa Hutchinson, who has been the first candidate to actually speak out and denounce Donald Trump in the wake of the trial in New York. Then from there, you have the candidate who's running hard. He's running, I think, the hardest, and that's Vivek Ramaswamy. He is, from someone who normally the media would totally ignore, he has been able to be on all the major interview shows, including this one, I might add, but he's been on Meet the Press. He's been all over the place, and he has good crowds, and he's also the one that has said that he wants all other Republican candidates to say that they would pardon Donald Trump. And he has a pledge that he wants people to sign. So in my view, he's standing out by some things that he has to say. He also wants to put armed troops on the border, which I think may be unconstitutional. But he's saying things that I think are waking people up. He's also in his 30s. He would be the youngest. He's the youngest man in the race. And again, he is a self-made American Indian. He's worth $630 million.
Well, his family came from India, right.
Right.
He's simply, he reminds me of Darren Bailey. He's simply out hustling the competition. He's done over 72 events.
I wouldn't say that he's just like Darren Bailey.
When it comes to his work ethics, he's no place he won't go. He's everywhere.
He's a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Now, next on my list, we have those who are purely on ego trips.
Yay!
They are not necessarily in alphabetical order. Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami.
Right out.
Talk show host Larry Elder, who put up a good race when he ran for California.
Right.
But the guy's a talk show host. He is no likely to be, he's not more likely to be the president of the United States than I am.
Well, you never know.
Doug Burgum, who was from the governor of North Dakota. Will Hurd, who decided to step down as being a member of Congress. He also was one of the African-Americans running in the race, the third African-American running in the race. And then Perry Johnson, who's the Michigan political fixture, who's a businessman who has, again, zero chance. Now, on this list, I wouldn't even put those people as possibly even vice presidential candidates. But now we're going to go back. Now that you've heard my list, I'm going to have you go back and weigh in. First of all, on the field of let's start with front runners. We have the front runners, and they are Donald Trump and Governor DeSantis. I'm going to start with you, Stephanie. Give us your gut reaction to those.
I wish the top of the ticket would be better examples of sticking to the issues and stop with this petty fighting. It's really bad between Trump saying that DeSantis wasn't a good governor. He left New York to move to Florida because he was a great governor. And then DeSantis.
And he endorsed him to run for governor.
Exactly. And then DeSantis PAC, they actually use AI to have an image of Trump embracing Fauci, which is so petty and so small. And let's talk about the major issues. It just looks bad.
Judith Sherwin.
So, yeah, I mean, I wish they weren't fighting with each other in public like this. However, this is, you know, the saying in Chicago, politics ain't beanbag, all right? So, you know, you've got DeSantis, who wouldn't be anywhere without Trump, who turns around immediately and decides, well, yeah, I guess I'm going to run for president. And, you know, he could be a great vice presidential candidate, and he may end up being that at some point. But he may end up being a presidential candidate, but not now. I don't think, I really do believe this, I don't think that there is anybody else in the Republican Party who can stand up to what we're getting from the Democrats, who can stand up what happens from the media, and who can get through this crucible. There is nobody but Donald Trump. You would never have had the days you had Thursday and Friday with any other Republican president ever.
Chris Roebling, your response on my listing of the front runners.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that DeSantis is finding out that it's tough to run for president, even if you've been governor of a megastate, which he has been very effectively and extraordinarily successfully on a political basis, given the results of last fall's elections. So I think DeSantis has got a lot to talk about. I also decry the pettiness and the back and forth. That's what you get with Trump. DeSantis should be doing better. He shouldn't get into that. He ought to be talking issues. He ought to be talking results in Florida and scaling those to the entire country. So as far as Trump is concerned, you know, I think that he was a galvanizing force in a way. I was never crazy about him running, but I was never a never Trumper. And now I've turned, and I just think that anybody with his background should not be president. So although he has had some good policy successes, and I agree with Judith, he fearlessly confronted the Democrats and the media, and we need that. I think that DeSantis has fearlessly confronted Democrats in the media down in Florida and whenever the national media has gone down there to trash the guy. So I think that DeSantis is well established as a political force in his own right.
Let's move on to the long shots. The long shots, as you may recall from my graphic and my comments earlier, they are Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, and Senator Scott. I'm going to start with Judy on this. You got a minute, and then we're going to carry it over.
I mean, I really like Tim Scott a lot. I like everything I hear from him. Well, I think he's a very practical guy. He's got a great story to tell. He came from nothing. He put himself into the situation he's in right now. I do think he's running for vice president in many ways. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think he's a terrific candidate. And mm-hmm. he speaks well. He's very articulate. I've never actually heard anything come out of Tim Scott's mouth that I thought was, I really didn't like that. Mm-hmm. Never heard anything like that. So I like him a lot. Okay. Not particularly excited about.
We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8289. We'll hear from Stephanie and Chris Roebling on the other side of this break. 1-800-723-8289. We are handicapping the 13 Republicans who want to be president of the United States and get that GOP nomination. And we have something very unique tonight. We have three guests in studio, like the old days. Nice to have them all close by where I can reach out and touch them. Back shortly.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar? Or...
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
Matthew.
Sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
It's a bully, but we aren't afraid of a fight. It's elusive, but our focus never fades. It's deadly, but we were born to defeat cancer. You may not have heard of us, but our work has helped millions impacted by cancer. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We are leaders in advancing breakthroughs in immunotherapy, genomics, and personalized medicine. This research saves lives. After 65 years of fighting blood cancers, we've arrived at a game-changing belief. The cures for cancer are in our blood. The drugs and treatments we've developed for blood cancers have helped people affected by many different types of cancers. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Beating cancer is in our blood. Learn more at lls.org.
Bruce Dumont back on Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. And we're going to let each of our guests take a moment to introduce themselves briefly right now. We're going to start with Chris Roebling. For those that have maybe missed Chris in his first 20-plus years as a guest on this show, give everybody a little background.
20?
Over 20.
Oh, my Lord.
I think you're close
85.
To 30.
1985 okay. Is when I started. 95,
05, 15. Well, 85.
By the way,
I'm at 38 years. I have a son born in 85.
That's 38 years I've been
years.
On this yeah. show.
Wow.
And it's
do you get like a gold
better
watch
every time?
Yeah.
By the way, we are starting. Tonight we are starting our 44th year. Anniversary was last week, so we're getting into the 44th year. But tell everybody about your background.
Well, I did a lot of different stuff. Like I was on radio at WBEZ, which is where we met, and. I was executive director of the Cook County Republican Party 1,000 years ago. We were riding
you
dinosaurs
were
at the time.
You were a regular guest on Inside Politics.
Inside Politics, the precursor.
And that's how you became a talk show host.
And that is how I became. I was a good guest, and then I was a good fill-in host, and then I became a host.
Sort of like Jeannie Ives.
Yes.
Right.
I actually
we'll start here in a couple of weeks.
I was on with Jeannie and you the first time that she was ever on the program.
Uh-huh.
And I remember coaching her beforehand. She was nervous as hell. And God love her, and I hope she has a big success with
and
her new show.
Also like Tom Roser.
Roser was fantastic.
I loved him.
Dan Proft.
Yeah, well, Proft.
And Charlie Kirk. I'm just naming all the people
all of the people who started.
Guests on this show.
Exactly. Well, Rahm Emanuel.
Although he wasn't a talk show host.
No, he did not become. He skipped that
we
part.
We wish he had become a talk show host instead of me.
That's enough about me.
But you were also, as a Republican, you were the executive director of the Chicago Cook County Republicans.
The Cook County Republican Party. I was a Kemp Republican. Wow. I was back during the Reagan years. I was on Capitol Hill working for members of Congress and things like that.
Stephanie Hitt, for those
Stephanie Trussell.
Trussell.
But I was in the contest. I know Stephanie Hitt very well. Yeah, she and I were both in the radio contest that I won.
I'm showing my age.
That's okay. I love her. She's great. In 2012, I was just this housewife driving around in my minivan. I won the WLS Next Talk Star contest, giving me one show. And I parlayed that into 7 years on my favorite station, biggest station at the time. It was very exciting. And U of I came in and bought out Saturday, so I got fired. And lo and behold, a couple of years later, I had the pleasure of being the Republican candidate with Darren Bailey. Got to travel this wonderful state and fall in love with
Lieutenant Governor.
Lieutenant Governor, I'm sorry. Yeah, with Darren Bailey was the governor candidate, and I was the Lieutenant Governor candidate. So I'm just so excited to be here, an opportunity to talk about what's going to happen in this next election. As we always say, it's the most important election of our lifetime, but it's, you know, here in Illinois. So I'm happy to be here.
Judy Sherwin.
So I am not a talk show host.
Nor
have I ever been a talk show host.
Right.
However,
I am not now.
It's never too late.
Uh-huh. But Bruce gave me an opportunity back in 2018 to come on the show, and I've been coming here and there ever since. I'm an attorney in Chicago. I'm also an adjunct professor at Loyola University Law School, where I teach courses in constitutional law, business law, and ethics. And happy to be here talking about what I think is perhaps the most important election
this
of our
really
lifetime.
This
is for real, though. This time, for real.
I hear that every 4 years.
Yeah.
By the way, before we get back to our discussion, I want to take just a moment of personal privilege here, because Chicago and the world of radio lost a Hall of Famer, Dick Biondi,
who was a great
rock and roll disc jockey for WLS in Chicago. He passed away at age 90 last week. And again, if you grew up in the Midwest and you were of my generation, you grew up with Dick Biondi, who was the voice of WLS Radio, which was one of the rock of Chicago when rock and roll was early and young. And Dick Biondi came in from Buffalo, New York, and he was young and brash. And again, he became a legend in the world of radio, certainly owned this town for many, many years, and he passed away this past week. So we say farewell to him, and also condolences to his wife and to his family. Now back to our discussion. We were talking about long shots. Judy Sherwin gave her thoughts on our long shots, and we're going to put those names up again in case you forgot them. They were the governor, former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, and the vice president of the United States, and Tim Scott. So we go to you, Stephanie.
I know. I was surprised because Nikki was one of the first people to get in the race. And it seems like after she announced, it was just kind of, she plateaued. It was nothing else going on. The three of them, I'm surprised, haven't done a lot, made a big splash. I don't know. It's just been, they all have good name recognition. And I'm really surprised that Mike Pence isn't higher up. Like, I'm surprised he's not third just because he was vice president. So,
right.
You know.
Now, let me ask you this. You didn't reference Tim Scott.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim Scott.
You are African-American, for those listening around the country on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Scott, obviously, is African-American. Does an African-American have a real opportunity, a real shot at being president of the United States coming out of a Republican primary?
Of course, by all means. I was a big Ben Carson guy, Dr. Carson guy, and I just remember how he filled stadiums and just being there in Arizona when he filled the Phoenix Convention Center, and I was thinking, wow, isn't this America? Yes, we have a chance for the first time to actually have a descendant of enslaved Americans, because Obama is not a descendant of enslaved Americans, so this would be very exciting. He has every chance, just like everyone else, if he's willing to put in the work, for sure.
Chris Roebling, let's give your assessment of this field. We're going to put him up again for those that just tuned in.
Well, I think Senator Scott is a very appealing candidate, and I think he makes a hell of a lot of sense whenever he's speaking publicly, and I look forward to seeing his support grow. I like Mike Pence a lot. Mike Pence was a terrific governor over in Indiana. He was a terrific member of the House. I think that he was a very good vice president. I think that he's probably saddled with a sense of establishmentarianism, but I think that he knows enough about how government works to get a lot of important conservative policies enacted. He also has got a tremendous number of devoted movement conservatives behind him from his days in the House leading the study committee and the conference, so that he has got personnel, which is a big problem that Trump never really got on top of. Finally, Nikki Haley, I have enormous respect for her. Sometimes she comes up with crazy policy formulations that I don't understand, but I have a lot of respect for her gumption, and I think that she would make a great candidate for president or for vice president, or she'd make a great secretary of state. I think she's got a lot of talent to serve the nation.
Mm-hmm. You referenced, as an aside in the first part of our program, how Mike Pence got put on the Trump ticket. Elaborate on that, if you will.
Well, I think there was a moment there in, it was around this weekend. It was the 4th of July weekend that I got a phone call. And so, that, you know, well before it was announced publicly that
years
Trump.
Ago.
Eight years ago. Yeah, 8 years ago this weekend.
Yeah.
And Trump had had a meeting with the Koch brothers, and that they said he wanted them to put in money to the campaign through various legal means. And they said, really, how much money have you put into the campaign?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Don, we know a lot about your background, and we want somebody in there that we know and that we can trust, that we who's going to really carry through on all the policies if you want our support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it happened.
And they suggested Mike Pence or Mike Pence?
I don't think they suggested him.
Oh, they insisted?
I received a phone call. You received a phone call. You mentioned that story to me.
Yeah.
I put it on the air.
Yeah.
And obviously that's what happened. But Mike Pence's name had not been floated in any significant way as a running mate.
Pence has got a following. I mean, and I'm not seeing it in the polls right now.
Yeah, like, so where
but,
is it?
Yeah, so, exactly. I'm not seeing it in the polls right now. But I mean, Pence was an extraordinarily effective member of Congress. He was a terrific governor of Indiana. And, you know, I don't think he's, I think he's a.
And he went to Ukraine.
He went to Ukraine. And I think that's important.
And he looks like a president.
He looks very presidential. And he was a radio talk show host.
I know that.
Well, so that's
yeah, there you
that
go.
Is his shoe.
Since we're kidding around about that tonight,
right?
Stephanie could be running for president next time.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what?
I'm still recovering from 102 counties of Illinois. Okay. So pump the brakes, right?
Fair enough.
Let's go to the next category, which are the chief critics. And the chief critics, for those that don't remember, Chris Christie is one. And Asa Hutchinson has made some critical comments about Donald Trump. We're talking about chief critics of Donald Trump. And let's talk about the ability of either of them. We're going to start with you, Chris. Either one of them being able to knock off Donald Trump.
Zero chance of either of those guys knocking off Donald Trump. Christie is really a joke at this point. And Asa Hutchinson, he was an intriguing member of the U.S. House. His brother was a member of the House at the same time, if you
mm-hmm.
recall.
Yes.
It was like, two Hutchinsons. And he went off to Arkansas to be governor. And there really was a news blackout about Asa Hutchinson. Whoever heard anything about what he was doing down there as governor? What does he point to? What's he running on? I don't know.
But he was the head of the DEA for a while.
I'm so happy to hear that. I remember now that you say it. I think,
appointed by Clinton, I believe.
Is that right?
Wow.
Is that right?
Okay.
Or was it Obama?
I don't know.
He was the head of the DEA.
Okay.
That's a perfect. Big deal.
Okay. Yeah. Your comments on the critics.
Well, Christie has one goal, and that's to throw mud at Trump. I don't think he even has a platform. Somebody's paying him to get in to make Trump look bad, and he's doing a good job of that. But nobody's really listening to him. No one's taking him serious. No way.
The national media is.
Well, do they count?
Because they despise Trump.
They love
right,
the
people that hate Trump.
Trump,
right, the Trump derangement.
But also, he's the MSNBC Republican candidate.
Exactly.
But also, he is the one that is not only going after Trump. He has gone after DeSantis, and he will continue to go after DeSantis.
Oh.
Back shortly from Chicago.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Rooster Mont back, 4th of July weekend. Hope you're enjoying that 4th of July weekend, and hopefully you have tomorrow off, so you've got the full three or four days off. We have been talking about the field of presidential candidates running for the Republican nomination, and I've divided them into categories. In the category that we were dealing with, chief critics, and Judy Sherwin, you have not weighed in on them. And first of all, I want to ask you a question about Christie.
Okay.
What is his goal?
God only knows. I certainly don't. I mean, look, if you recall, and I think it was in 2012, Christie was a big deal. Christie was going to be the nominee. Mm-hmm. Everybody was, oh, he's so tough. He was like the precursor to Trump, right?
Yes.
He had the biggest mouth on the Republican side. He said all these nasty things. And he got up at the Republican convention and gave the worst speech I think I've ever heard in my life. Put everybody to sleep, and that was the end of Chris Christie. And pretty much has been the end of him ever since. And then we had the bridge. We had all kinds of other things. But, you know, he's his own worst enemy, really, much worse than Trump. This guy is a catastrophe. And he's angry at Trump. He's obviously very angry with him because he was on the transition team. I think he expected to be the attorney general or something like that. And
but
when he wasn't, that was it. You know?
When he says that the second act or the second presidency of Donald Trump is going to be about retribution, Donald Trump will have no other election that he ever has to worry about. And he says it's going to be at retribution against those who are on his enemies list. Do you not believe at least a portion of that?
Be honest now.
You're the big Trumpster at the table tonight.
I understand that.
Would you acknowledge that?
I understand. There will be some of that. Yes, there will be. But you know what? He had an opportunity when he got into office in 2016. They wanted him to go after Hillary. And he could have.
Yes, he could have.
And he said, I'm not doing that. All right. Now it's 4 years later. They've beaten the living hell out of him. He's gotten indicted. He's got this nonsense going on, you know, in New York and Miami. He's probably a lot. I mean, I look at him now and I listen to him talk. There's an edge to him that there wasn't there before. So, yeah, there may be some retribution, but it's not going to be all about retribution.
Asa Hutchinson.
Asa Hutchinson, barely knew who he, I kind of knew the name. I forgot that he was, the head of the DEA. Every time he opens his mouth, it just seems to be he's the gadfly running around for people like Rick Wilson going, oh, I hate Trump. It's ridiculous. He doesn't really have anything to say.
Yeah, but he was the first one to criticize Trump. He was weeks before Chris Christie.
You can't. Our entire country is in remarkable trouble because everybody wants to run around and criticize Trump. I'd like to hear somebody.
Not everybody.
Not everybody.
Not everybody in that Republican field.
No, not everybody.
Mike Pence backed away from him today.
He did a great job on television today.
Yeah. He had a perfect opportunity to take a swipe at him.
He doesn't,
and that's true. But, Hutchinson, I'm not sure what he's doing either, but he's going nowhere.
We could put him on the ego trip as well.
Absolutely.
But I want to go to our next category because we've sort of discussed this already, and that's the running hard. Vivek Ramaswamy, you have mentioned that you are at least partially involved with the campaign.
Right.
Chris Roebling to you and Judy on Vivek.
I'm very impressed by him. I'm very impressed by Vivek on policy, on presentation. I think he's young. He has no political base. Can he establish one in time for some wins in the primaries? I don't know, but he's a very appealing, interesting guy, and he's going to go someplace.
Judith.
Okay, so I agree with all of that, except, he's got more of a base than I think you think he does. And there are a lot of people in this country who are very concerned about the corporate fascist sort of conglomeration of government, and he's talking about that. Every time he talks about that, he speaks to me, he speaks to a lot of people who are very concerned about what's going on here. It's the thing that's got Bobby Kennedy 20-some% on the Democrat side and a lot of Republicans looking at this. That's a very dangerous situation in this country, and people need to start paying attention.
I want to go.
So
to,
I like Vivek.
And young
talks
people love
about
him.
It.
And just really quick, it's right. Vivek. It rhymes with cake. Just
Vivek.
It looks
Vivek.
Like.
Oh,
cake.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Rhymes
Vivek.
With cake. Yes.
Good to know. Vivek.
Yeah. Vivek.
Ramaswamy rhymes with
Ramaswamy.
He's sounding an alarm about what's going on in this country. And people need to pay attention.
And we'll see if he also gets young people. We've got just a few minutes left. I want to go back to our last category, and these are the guys on the ego trip. Okay, just to repeat for those that just tuned in and are listening on radio, it's Francis Flores, the mayor of Miami. It's talk show host Larry Elder. It's Doug Burgum, who is the governor of North Dakota. It's former representative Hurd of Texas, and it's Perry Johnson, who's a businessman. We got a minute to deal with this. Is there anyone that disagrees with me that all these people are on ego trips? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I agree with you.
I agree with you, too.
It's hard to disagree with you. Yeah, Larry Elder should have just decided to run for governor instead of just in the runoff. He should have just started all over and did a solid run for governor of California this time.
Right, right.
I don't understand
because he became a serious candidate
in such a short period
for
of time.
Governor,
right.
And to throw his hat into the race.
I don't get it. Right.
No, I think maybe he's just trying to keep his name out there, and he will run for governor. I mean, he took a candidacy that I thought was going nowhere, and he really made something.
Yeah,
out
but
of
again,
it
sort of embarrassed when you then decide to run for president. By the way, all these candidates, I wonder how many of them are going to be on the August 23rd ballot.
Probably
because
not.
I don't think they're all going to be at 1%. And I doubt whether Doug Burgum is going to be.
Well, this business about having 40,000 separate donors.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's why I
don't see that.
That's why Nikki Haley's been begging me for a dollar donation.
You get those texts, too? I thought I was special.
Only about five times a day.
Yeah.
And then I get two from her husband.
In
hour number one, we have been joined by Judith Sherwin. We have been joined by Stephanie Trussell. And we've been joined by Chris Roebling. They are all great. They're in studio. They'll be back to continue their 4th of July celebration, and we'll be joined by Mike Miller, retired economist, from DePaul University. From Bellingham, Washington, I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar? Or...
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
Is that a faucet running? That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control, and priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're on the radio.
Hey.
You're on the radio.
I had a gig here. I used to. Tom Serafin and I used to do election nights here. 1,000 years ago.
Very good. Yeah. Nice to have you with us. Joining us now, this is hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. We digress a little bit because Chris was saying things he didn't know he was on the radio, but you were on the radio. By the way, I want to mention again that tonight is special in that we have three guests in the studio, which we used to have four guests until we, got kicked out of the broadcast museum. But this is the first time we've had three guests in this studio, both on radio and TV, and it's working very well. And we had another guest who's an old friend of this program, Mike Miller, joins us from Bellingham, Washington. Mike, nice to have you with us. And Mike, last Friday, retired. He is now a retired man.
Yay.
How do you like it so far, Mike? How did the first weekend go?
Yeah, 2 days. It's been great. Since we spoke last, I have 76 more days of retirement, and then I've actually taken a one-year position at a local university to teach macro.
Okay,
so good for you.
I'll still be professor emeritus at DePaul, but I also will be earning a few extra bucks on the side.
Can you tell us that organization now, or do you want to do it on your next visit?
It's Western Washington University in Bellingham.
Okay.
And it is a liberal stronghold, so it's going to be interesting to be there.
Very good. Well, I wish you well. I wish you well.
Thank you.
And again, Mike joins the conversation, and Mike is with us on the first Sunday of every month to talk about the latest economic news, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But Mike also has identified himself as a Republican. And, Mike, I want to begin just by letting you chime in on what we talked about in hour number one, and then I'm going to sort of expand the conversation and certainly want you to participate in that above and beyond your economic prowess.
Sure.
But as you look at that Republican field of 13 people, is there someone that stands out to you that you like?
You know, Chris and I often would sit together in this particular lunch we used to go to together, a political junkie lunch. And Chris spoke. I heard the whole hour, for what it's worth. I was on listening on YouTube before
Good.
I came on. Chris spoke almost – he could have taken the words directly out of my mind and into his mouth. I did not support Trump in 16. I did support Trump in 20 because I think Biden was so bad. I have washed myself of Trump now, and mine was a little different. I know Chris said it was January 6th. To me, it was when he said, well, even if we have to suspend the Constitution for me to become president. The moment he said that, you don't even, to me, you just don't kid about the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'm done with him, as much as I like many of his policies.
So who do you like?
I really like Vivek Ramaswamy. I wish I could somehow get many of his ideas, his articulate understanding of the issues and of philosophy and so forth, into the minds of some of the other candidates. I like Tim Scott a lot. You had mentioned him last time, and I said, I have to look up Tim Scott and see. Almost as to take Chris's word, almost every word that comes out of his mouth, I like. I like the way he says it. I like what he's focused upon. I could vote for Scott. I could vote for Pence. I could vote for Ramaswamy, any one of those three, without a problem at all.
I want to ask you the question, everybody the question. And I asked this question about Tim Scott. In a Republican primary field, do you believe that Vivek Ramaswamy is a serious candidate that people will consider and has a real opportunity amongst those that make up the population of the Republican Party?
Yes.
I do not think he is going to win, but I think he has a serious mind. I think he is the kind of candidate that I just love. He talks about philosophy. I often thought that so much the Republicans, that so many in the black community and so many Hispanics and so forth are truly conservative in their thinking, but the Republicans never touch on those things about hard work and all the things that, you know, the Constitution and all equal before the law and the things that Vivek is talking about. And I just wish I could. I don't think he's going to win, but would I vote for him in spite of that? Absolutely, I would.
Chris Roebling.
Oh, I think he's a very interesting candidate. I said he doesn't have a political base. What I mean by that is he wasn't governor or senator someplace.
Right. But he's from Ohio.
But he's from Cincinnati.
Originally, yeah. That's in Ohio.
Like I said, he has no political base. But he is a fascinating individual, and he's very articulate. And I think that Vivek, if I'm getting that right, will add a lot to this debate coming up.
Judith.
Yeah, I think he's a serious candidate, and I think that the issues that he raises are very important to people who are voting in the Republican primary. That said, I think that he will not be able to overcome Trump. I don't think anybody's going to overcome Trump. I think that he would be an amazing addition to a Republican government that would come with a new Republican president. I think he's really, he raises issues that are very important, you know, aside from all the noise and the garbage that we hear all the time. This stuff about the corporations and how they're controlling everybody and they're controlling the boardrooms and they're making all these things happen that should not be happening, this kind of fascist conglomeration which has hit us, that's very important. He needs to keep talking about that. He's the intellectual version of that. It's very important, and it needs to be raised with people.
Could he be, Stephanie, could he be someone that Donald Trump would pick out of the blue to be a running mate, assuming that Donald Trump continues to be the front runner and wins the nomination. I mean, whoever Donald Trump picks is a person that he thinks is going to lead the Republican Party for the next 8 years and is going to be a heartbeat away.
Well,
so, I mean,
yeah.
Does Vivek have that opportunity?
Yes, and unlike a lot of people, he doesn't throw mud at Trump. He loves to say he's America First 2.0. I mean,
yes.
He's critical when he needs to be.
Right.
And so I could see Trump totally taking him under his wing. And what he does, he's appealing to the young people. I don't know any other candidate that can fill a room like he does. I was at CPAC, and that room was, I think security was going to shut us down. Young people are inspired by him. He's the American dream. His family came here with nothing, and look what he achieved.
Mm-hmm.
He's lighting a fire under people that normally don't pay attention, especially the really young people.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Yeah. Absolutely, every word.
Yeah, well, again, I saw a little bit of that, you know, when he was a guest on this program a few weeks back, and we hope to have him back again. But again, I had a chance to go out and see him in action on the south side of Chicago and was impressed with what I saw. And we did a little brief.
Other candidate came to Chicago. You know, he saw 1,000 people in the gym talking about illegals coming to their community, and he immediately said, let's go to Chicago. He'll go wherever there's a problem.
Yeah, he did a similar thing, I think, in Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah, he went to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go anywhere, and that's what's so exciting. He's fearless, and he's saying things that we want people to say. He's leaning into our platform. He's not running away from it. He's pro-life. He's Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
He's unapologetically pro-life, and those are the kind of things that we need to stick with in our platform.
Is he raising money, or because he's so wealthy, is he not asking for it?
He's more concerned about those unique donors. He's telling everybody, just send me a dollar, and he's happy.
You got to do that. We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8029. When we come back, the future of the Republican Party as a foreign policy party. Is it going to be a party that is a globalist party, or is it going to be a party of isolation? That discussion coming back on Beyond the Beltway.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar?
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do.
Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.
Month back on Beyond the Beltway, Vice President Mike Pence visited Ukraine over the last couple of days, and he came back and was on television today, and when asked about the trip, I think that he articulated the old Republican globalist position on U.S. involvement in foreign wars, and specifically in this war. And yet you have a growing number of people within the Republican Party who seem to be more isolationist. Their chief articulator has been Tucker Carlson, but others have ushered in a similar conversation. And I'm wondering, and I'm going to start with you, Chris, because you have spent a lot of time on the international level. Where do you come down on the debate within the party? Because this is an issue that really could split the party apart, but I'm wondering, realistically, do you think it will? And where do you see the sides gearing up right now?
Well, isolation is not a possibility. It's not an option. And I think that Tucker and, for his part, Trump, were making a distinct point, and that was about armed conflict and what's going to work and what isn't. I think that the United States, more than ever, has to be extremely involved in the world. I go to places like, for instance, Sri Lanka, where the Chinese for 10 or 15 years had almost free reign of the place. And it's quite sobering to see what happened. Or I've been to East Africa, and you see what the Chinese have been doing down there. I don't think that we want to emulate the Chinese, but I do think that the West, such as there still exists a West, because God knows the left is doing everything it can to subvert the West.
Yeah.
But to the extent there still is a West, we really have to engage with the global South. We've got to engage with people everywhere about all topics of interest to them, not just the usual rehashed, you know, WHO knows better than everybody else and global warming is a threat to everybody's lives, because we know how false all of those nostrums are. But basically, development and increasing standards of living and increasing respect for the rule of law. And that starts here with folks like in the Democratic Party actually learning how to respect the rule of law again, which they've forgotten.
Mike Miller, where do you come down on the globalists versus the isolationists?
Well, I've got to work off of what Chris was saying. I agree with much of what he said. But I think in many people's minds, it's a military question. So from the perception of, should we try to sell what we do as an economy and be willing to interact with other countries and so forth, not withdraw from our allies? Of course, we should do that. But should we be involved in a war, for example, with lots and lots of money, or I hope God no, in terms of military with something like Ukraine? I have been against the Ukrainian war from the beginning in the sense that this is not our war. This is Europe's war. Now, we should be willing to help them the way we are. I'm pleased that Mr. Biden has not brought troops into to do more. But I think there's a trigger there that could be pulled that unfortunately will get us much more involved in something which I don't think is our battle. I really don't. But should we be, you know, involved in South America and Africa? Should we tell them, you know, work with us. We have the better system. We are the ones who will draw you out of poverty, but not enslave you. We should be doing that, but we should not be coming involved in wars unless we are directly affected by that.
Judith Sherwin, your response.
Yeah, I mean, coming off of what Chris said, you know, it's not a question of isolationism versus globalism. We need to be involved in the world. I don't think Trump says we don't have to be involved in the world. It's important to be involved in the world, but we don't have to go to war with everybody. I agree with Mike about the war in Ukraine. This is the wrong war for us to be this involved in. I don't think we should be. You know, Putin is a bad man. Zelensky is not an angel, all right? And he's not a Democrat. He's putting his opposition in jail, you know, and for people to, the Democrats, our Democrats, to be running around going, oh, we are preserving our democracy by helping his democracy. He's not a Democrat. He's not preserving democracy. He doesn't care about that at all. So I think it's really, we shouldn't be involved in these wars. There are a lot of things we can do. We had 4 years under somebody who was supposed to start World War III, where we didn't start any wars and we ended a few of them. So I think there are ways for us to be in the world, and I think the Republican Party needs to look at that kind of foreign policy that existed when Trump was president. You know, Trump's the only guy who can stand there and say, I did this. He's not standing there and saying, I'm going to do this. He did it, right?
Stephanie, had your response.
Yes. I am so excited to agree with Mike. I thought I was the only one that would be so direct to say that I'm against it. Here we are concerned. We should be concerned. We can't operate with our head in the sand. We're not turtles, and we have to be concerned about conflicts like this around the world. But we have an open border. We have fentanyl coming over. 100,000 Americans, over 100,000 Americans are dying of fentanyl overdose every year. I'm concerned about that. I keep thinking when I see people with the Ukrainian flag in their yard, I keep thinking the little kids in Chicago need a flag, and maybe people will care more about them, right, and them getting shot, them not being educated. There's so many issues. We need to encourage Europe and those countries a lot closer to get more involved than what we've been. We simply can't afford it. And I can't believe this war has been going on so long. I don't know how much longer it's going to go. And has Putin not really used the big guns yet? I don't know what's going to happen. We should care. We should be concerned and offer assistance. But we have a lot of problems at home that we need to be.
Should we have a discussion of it then during the primary season?
Hopefully
they discuss this on August 23rd in the Fox debate.
I think this was a big strong point for Trump. I think that Trump had a very enlightened foreign policy. And you knew how enlightened it was because the foreign policy establishment despised him so.
Right.
look at the results. I mean, you've got Germany increasing its defense spend. You've got the UK increasing its defense spend. You've got North Korea getting less and less integrated in the international system. He had vast success in the Middle East. It was almost transformative. And then that was subverted by the Biden administration purely out of spite, Mm-hmm. Trump had remained in Mexico. There was a lot. Trump accomplished more internationally in his one term than many presidents have done in two terms. And I give him full credit for that. Doesn't make me want him to be president again. I think that DeSantis and others, Nikki Haley and even Tim Scott, I think there are a lot of guys in there. Pence, certainly, they know a lot about the international situation. But we've got to be involved. We've got to be very, very involved because we need a West that one of Trump's fundamental insights was that if we didn't have a counterbalance to China, that the tripartite relationship between China, Russia, and the United States could tip.
Right.
And for this, he was excoriated by the press.
Yeah,
and it has.
It has. Look at where we are right now.
Yeah. I want to take a call. Let's go to line three. Ben is listening to us in El Paso, Texas on KTSM. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. Has anybody heard about the senators Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal that introduced a resolution to respond to the Russian Federation? Saying that if something happens to that nuclear facility in Ukraine, that's going to be initiating Article 5 of NATO, make it to where we have to go to war.
Well, they can't.
We're talking about we'll be in nuclear war with Russia at that point.
Well, I don't know about Richard Blumenthal.
Has anybody heard of that?
No, I have not heard of that. I haven't. I don't trust Richard Blumenthal as far as I can throw.
But they introduced it on June 22nd.
No, he's right. They did.
Go ahead, Judith.
No, they did. They introduced that resolution. It came and went. There was some other nonsense going on in the world, so nobody paid any attention to it. This is a very important problem. You know, Putin's got a bunch of nuclear weapons. He can start using them.
Mm-hmm.
And with this kind of provocation and, you know, provocative talk, I don't know what Lindsey Graham thinks he's doing half the time. quite frankly. He got booed mercilessly yesterday in South Carolina. I mean, but this is bizarre. It's like he's never seen a war he didn't like. This, a nuclear war? You want to talk about climate change? You want to talk about destroying the world? Let's have a nuclear war. This is completely crazy, all right? And we have to step back from this brink. We really do. That's all I can say about that.
Is this going to be a Republican-Democrat argument then? What? Is one party going to be, you know, pro-war and the other one against war?
But they're not. The Republican Party is not against the war. You get people like Lindsey Graham. You know, all these people, there are a number of people in the Republican Party who are every bit as war hawk, okay, as Richard, Mike Democrats.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bizarre. I've never seen anything like this. And Mike Pence, too. So I don't understand it. This war in Ukraine is a terrible danger. It in some ways reminds me of the kind of nonsense that was going on before World War One. These people are sleepwalking into a world war.
Democrat support for the war is based in their awareness of Biden's failure on the international stage with Russia.
Okay.
So in
about China?
In my humble opinion, Biden, I think, is pretty clearly owned by China.
Yes.
And so you've got a situation where they are supporting the war as a palliative or as a antidote to the fact that they've supported Biden, who has been so incredibly feckless in international relations. I mean, look at Iran.
Disaster.
Look at all the crazy things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, Afghanistan withdrawal. Right. I mean, please. Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk about the big decisions last week out of the Supreme Court and the political implications of that and whether or not it exercises gets a lot of young people out to vote that normally wouldn't vote. And how would they vote if they came out? I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Chicago. Thanks for joining us on this 4th of July.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra. An exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings. The kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show him you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Matthew.
Sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
It's a bully, but we aren't afraid of a fight. It's elusive, but our focus never fades. It's deadly, but we were born to defeat cancer. You may not have heard of us, but our work has helped millions impacted by cancer. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We are leaders in advancing breakthroughs in immunotherapy, genomics, and personalized medicine. This research saves lives. After 65 years of fighting blood cancers, we've arrived at a game-changing belief. The cures for cancer are in our blood. The drugs and treatments we've developed for blood cancers have helped people affected by many different types of cancers. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Beating cancer is in our blood. Learn more at lls.org.
But he made a great choice for
the guys. Forgive it. Okay.
We are having a great time here. We're talking on the air, and even when we're not on the air, we're talking on the air. Let's go back to phone calls, and then we're going to go to Mike Miller to give us kind of an update on some of the financial stories of this past month. Let's go way out also to Washington, Spokane, Washington. Joy is a regular listener to this program. Joy, go ahead. It's always nice to hear from you.
Well, thank you. So I was the one who raised about young people. I'm a young 67 years old.
Okay.
And so I look at my son, his fiance. I look at others who have for years and mm-hmm. their whole lives, they've had rights to abortion. They've had affirmative action. My son has a boss's boss who just transitioned. They have LGBTQ friends, and there's a lot of these rights look like they have now been changed. And just quick to what worries me the most right now about the Republican position is this desire not just to make government smaller, but just to attack the government in general. And I think one of the most important things we need to do is make government attractive for young, smart people, because that's who we're going to need to step into these positions. And I think the Republicans are really hurting our country by bad-mouthing every government agency and every worker. And it just, I think it will be to the
well, it's pretty. Let me just interject for a moment, and again, we can talk about the demographics of the decision and how they might be affected. But it seems to me that the Democratic Party has a very difficult time now energizing young people when they've got an 80-plus-year-old president. And even Robert Kennedy is 70 years old. So the young Turks,
he's
obviously
crazy.
Well, that's your opinion. I don't happen to agree with that that he's crazy. But you can have
anyway.
That feeling. I mean, the media identifies him as sort of somewhat crazy, but I don't disagree with it or agree with that. But again, I want to talk about your question, but also kind of broaden it out and talk about whether or not, and this is what you may be getting to, is the recent Supreme Court decisions. Do they have an impact on voters? And if they do, which voters do they have an impact on? Stephanie, let me start with you.
That's such a great question. It's so exciting that every June, last June and then this June, we as conservatives had something to celebrate. And it does fire up the people across the aisle. They just feel when it was announced on Thursday and Friday, they've lost their minds. They're screaming. They can't believe it. And it's just so unfortunate. And but I think it's firing us up as well. Love or hate Trump. Thank God he got three Supreme Court opportunities to appoint three people who have consistently delivered. Whoever would have thought Roe v. Wade would be sent back to the state? How exciting. And so I think it's going to fire us up as well, but we just have to be more vocal and get out there and get out the vote. And because they are saying this is it. Oh, my goodness. We have to, everything is changing. The world's coming to an end.
Judith.
Yeah, I thought the decisions on Thursday and Friday were momentous. They're very important. Affirmative action has just not worked, right? You know, when going all the way back to the Bakke decision, which I think was in 1984, they knew this was unconstitutional. But they basically said, you know what, we're going to give this a try. We need to do something. We need to make the colleges more diverse. They weren't using that word then, but we need to broaden the horizons and the abilities for
level
minority.
The playing field.
Yeah.
Does this decision, here's my question though, does this decision exercise Democrats, and does it exercise the African American community who in most cases may be very upset about that? Not in all cases, but I mean, do they get energized? Do they turn out in larger numbers because of this decision? I can see how young people might be turned out if they were thinking that the government was going to erase their debt. I mean, they got to be pretty PO'd.
Well,
as well,
I mean, yeah. Well, our educational system hasn't done a very good job in teaching our young people that the president is not a king and he can't erase your debt. Even Nancy Pelosi said the president cannot erase your debt, and then he went and he said, "Oh, I'm going to do it." Well, you know, you can't do it, and so there's not much of a surprise. And the people who were dumb enough, and I do mean dumb enough, to go and vote for Biden because they thought he was going to put $20,000 in their pocket, I mean, they got what they deserve. Now, is that going to make them go run out and vote for Biden again? I don't know. I mean, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice.
But really quick, this is a chance for the Republican Party to educate the voters and said, this affirmative action helped white women more than it helped anyone.
Absolutely.
So we need to educate them that it wasn't about black people, you know, this is something they're losing. No, white women are the ones that.
That's exactly the way the statistics
I want to go to Mike Miller for his reaction to this, and then we'll hear from Chris.
Yeah, two things, Bruce. We're only talking about a policy that affects a small percentage of higher education where they have, their acceptance rate is very, very low. These would be the elite schools. But your average university, DePaul, Western Washington, and so forth, they're not affected by this at all. Second thing, poll after poll has showed when people ask the question, should race be a determining factor in who is admitted to college? A vast majority of Americans, white, black, conservative, liberal, say the answer is no. And, of course, we've had California and so forth. There is a vocal minority that is screaming so loudly. I just wish they would listen to Thomas Sowell, which he focuses upon the mismatch problem that occurs when you get into allowing people to go to colleges they cannot handle. Mm-hmm. And Thomas Sowell, look it up. It's a brilliant, of course, economic, because the man is brilliant. An economist's view of a mistake in public policy.
Just very quickly, these decisions by the Supreme Court and what was being said about if the party does not address cultural issues sincerely and comprehensively, if it does not have something to say about why affirmative action has always been wrong and why we're blessed by this decision, or why the president can't do things that are not authorized by Congress, for instance. If Republicans cannot stand up for these developments, then we are going to fail with not just young people, but middle-aged people and
with
old people. And we'll deserve to fail.
Right.
It will deserve to fail.
But the news media is always going to fan the position that somehow some people got screwed.
We know that, and we need to act accordingly.
Right.
And we have the best platform, and we need to articulate that. Our platform is phenomenal, but it's the best kept secret. We're always so afraid. Our consultants tell us not to lean into our platform, to try to be softer, be more like Democrats, and we need to be out there educating voters, saying this is who we are. We're the party that freed the slaves. We're the party that's all about civil rights. And we talk about those governors hosing kids down. Those were Democrats' governors, and we need to tell them.
You know, there would be no Civil Rights Act in this country if it weren't for Republicans.
Yes, and 160 years ago today, on the second day of Gettysburg, the Democrats were already organized to defeat Lincoln and to sue for peace with the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Democrats in the North, 160 years ago today, this very day, were plotting to sue for peace with the Confederacy so that they could continue to have slavery. That's what the Democrats were doing, the Northern Democrats.
That's their history.
I mean, the entire South was for slavery.
Right.
Or almost the entire South was for slavery. But the Northern Democrats were univocal in their support for slavery and their determination to pull the rug out from under Lincoln and, at that point, General Meade.
That's absolutely
and
true.
And who took away the 40 acres and the mule?
Judith, go ahead.
All right. I mean, you know, the decision talked about, well, the 14th Amendment was only for the black community. That's not true. At the end of the war, it was the Republicans who did it. If the 14th Amendment was used to help the newly freed slaves, and they used the 14th Amendment as a vehicle to do that, but that did not mean that the 14th Amendment only applied to the newly freed slaves. It applied to everybody. And the affirmative action was wrong. It was wrong from the beginning. The initial decision said it was wrong and said, you know, but we're going to let you do it if you do it this way and you do it that way and you make it not such a big deal. Well, you have places like Harvard. They basically had quotas in place. They never said they did.
Democrats in the next presidential election and congressional elections coming up next year, will they use this issue? Will they use these
two Supreme
Court
decisions? Of course they will. They're going to demagogue it.
Will it have any impact?
Up, sure.
Why is it that? Would you agree that the Republican,
what Michael said? What Michael said is true. Folks oppose the use of race as a determining factor.
Right.
So I think Michael has laid down the mark.
What about the Democratic Party, though?
It's up to us.
All going to get those votes anyway.
But nobody's talking about the fact they're so upset that less blacks are going to get into elite colleges. Let's talk about $29,000 being spent per kid in Chicago public school systems,
and they can't even read.
Right.
They can't read.
These dropout factories.
Unions are stealing their future.
Thank you.
So the reality here is, instead of worrying about who gets into college and the color of their skin, mm-hmm. they should back up and find out what are we doing with
K-12
elementary school.
Right. Yep.
Because if you get off to a bad start there,
you'll never
going to make it into any college. We all agree on that. In fact, we all said it at the same time. I'm Bruce Ducott. Back shortly, we're going to talk about the economy with Mike Miller. Don't go away.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings. The kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control.
and priming the brain for other addictions. Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We are back on the 4th of July, celebrating from coast to coast and border to border, and it's nice to have you with us this evening. Mike Miller joins us from Bellingham, Washington, recently retired as an economist, long, many years at DePaul University, soon to have a new gig out in Western Washington University. And Mike, you are on here the first Sunday of every month to talk about the economy, so we're going to turn it over to you to give us your assessment of what's good, bad, or indifferent about the economic numbers the last 30 days.
Sure. The numbers are not much better, with exception of jobs. The jobs is a great part. But one thing is that Mr. Biden has come up with something now he calls Bidenomics, and he is touting that as a dramatic breakthrough. And I was stunned by it, only in this sense. There are two things that the government that we could hope for, and that is economic growth or redistribution. And unfortunately, Mr. Biden really believes the most important thing the federal government can do is to foster an economy of redistribution, not an economy of growth. And it's just setting us up for a disaster. But, you know, just think of where are things today. We have the worst housing market in decades in terms of the affordability of buying a home, and that's the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies came up with that. Real wages across the board, no matter who you are, top or bottom, your real wages are falling, and the reason for that is inflation. Mm-hmm. And in spite of all these increases in interest rates, inflation remains stubbornly high. And, of course, Mr. Biden and all the spending that was done late in the pandemic when it was not needed, that was what fueled a lot of this particular inflation. And one thing that Mr. Biden, he keeps saying is that I have a better economy than anybody. It's the best economy ever. When you look at unemployment, it matches what Mr. Trump did during his administration, which was the best unemployment rate in 50 years. So is he right that unemployment is under control at the moment? The answer is yes. And are jobs growing well? You know, I compared let's take it up to the point where the economy recovered all of the lost jobs from the pandemic, and that's where we'll start. And Mr. Biden has had a pretty good run. The number of jobs created under Biden in a period of time since we got rid of the pandemic problem is not too bad. But when you look at it in terms of economic growth, the amount of growth under Mr. Trump was more than twice as much growth in gross domestic product than under Biden. So the job market continues to amaze economists across the board, that unemployment is as low as it is and that the number of jobs being created is as high as it is, given what the Fed has been doing. But in terms of people, 60%, one last thing, 60% of Americans believe we're in recession. And that is because they look at their paycheck, they go to the grocery store, and they can't afford as much as they could before. Until that inflation is under control, there's going to be a lot of negative feelings in the economy.
Mike, you said earlier in the program that you're not a fan of Donald Trump in this presidential cycle. Who amongst the 13 mm-hmm. Republicans that are vying for the nomination, who do you think has the best economic skills or skill sets to carry on at least maybe some of the skills that Donald Trump brought to the table economically? Who's out there?
Well, I'm disappointed that there's not more talk about the economy. I wish they would say something about do they support the Fed's actions or do they wish the Fed would back off? And what would they do with tax policies? What would they do in terms of encouraging entrepreneurship? Will they go with regulation that only imposed if you have a cost-benefit analysis that makes sense? The one man who has talked about it, in my mind, is Vivek. He is one who – and this is where a businessman – is where he actually, you can, so I think it was a couple of us are old enough to remember. I think it was in the 1970s, the guy, the president, and he lost big time. And then he went and bought a bed and breakfast in New Hampshire after he retired.
George McGovern bought a bed and breakfast in Connecticut.
Yeah. Right. And he drove it into the ground. And he says, oh, my gosh, I wish I had had the experience of a businessman before or while I was in Congress. I could have learned, I could have done so much more good. And not that businessmen make always a best president, but I think Vivek is the only one who's talking about it. And I'm pleased to see that somebody is talking about regulation and about taxes, that they should be sensible, and that smaller government is a good thing and America first. And although Vivek goes quite, he's pretty extreme when it comes to China. He'd love to stop all trade with China. I don't know if we can do that.
I will say this. I've been to India four times since Thanksgiving, and I can tell you India is a much better place to be now than it was even before COVID. India is just red hot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we should
In what way?
Well, it's got a growth rate. I think it's knocking on 7 or 8% this year, GDP. Mm-hmm. And there's activity in all sectors, and I think you've got you and it's it is.
Isn't their poverty significant though?
They have an English speaking middle class that is larger than the population of the United States of America. Okay, so right. Do they have a lot of poverty? Yeah, but they so yeah. Does China. But the fact is, I put my money on India to overcome poverty a lot faster than China. Because it's a lot more.
Yeah, China has not gone through this to freedom. India is a free country, so to speak. Yeah. China is not, and until they become free, they can't grow the way they need to grow.
Which they are not going to do.
Which they're not going to do because the demography is destiny. Anyway.
Yes,
demography is destiny. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
Bruce,
you know what I'm thinking as I summarize this program, as everybody was offering their comments, Vivek Ramaswamy has gotten a good boost here.
He
tonight.
Has. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to send his team his name.
Is, yeah. His Vivek. Name is
Vivek.
Vivek.
Vivek. Vivek. Rhymes with his name.
Vivek. Just remember one thing. Vivek rhymes with cake. If you learn nothing more about the program, Vivek
and nothing rhymes with Ramaswamy.
Yeah, right. And work on what rhymes with Ramaswamy
my
and see if it comes
is
off.
A Swami.
Just
that
remember.
That is actually true.
Remember the name. Mike Miller, thank you very much for joining us. Judy Sherwin, thank you very much. Stephanie Trussell, thank you very much. Chris Roebling, thank you very much. And, of course, Fritz Goldman, our producer, a longtime producer, who joins and gets this show on and off the air on time. I'm Bruce Dumont. Have a wonderful 4th of July coming up. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar? Or...
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend.
It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.